Man, we are here this morning to open the Word of God. We love the Word of God around here. We believe it is transformative. It will change your life in ways that nothing else in this world will. And so I get excited. I get fired up every Sunday that I get to preach to my church family and be here with you on Sunday mornings. And so I want to begin this morning with this. Anybody else out there love a good buddy cop movie? Anybody else? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say a good buddy cop movie? Like Lethal Weapon, Rush Hour, right? These are some of the movies that I kind of grew up on as a kid. And when you watch a buddy cop movie, one of the things inevitably in every single movie that's going to happen at some point is there's going to be a scene where there's like a big shootout. And one of those guys, one of the buddy cops, is going to say to the other buddy cop, "Cover me," right? He's going to go out and he's going to have to do something really courageous and he's going to ask his buddy to cover him, right? Why? Well, what does it mean to be covered by somebody else? Well, it means protect me, right? Look out for me. You've got my back, right? Right, as they go into this dangerous situation, they want to know they are covered. And at the end of the day, right, all of us, right, we may never be in a situation like that, but I think it's part of human nature. Every single one of us wants to feel like we are safe and secure, right? We want to feel like we are covered, don't we? Right, this is why if you have kids, and maybe if you don't have kids, someday you'll recognize this, or maybe you remember back to your own childhood. When a child is scared at night in their room, what do? They immediately pull the covers over top of them, right? There's something about that. There's this safety that they feel when they do that, right? And so they'll pull that cover over them. Why? Again, I think there's a basic need inside of us all. God has wired all of us to have this desire, this sense of wanting to be safe and secure and to feel covered. Here's the problem, and here's the issue for me, and here's the tension I want us to begin to look at this morning. We live in a world that most of the time, let's be honest, feels anything but safe. Like our lives do not often feel secure, do they? Oftentimes we're kind of running through this life and we can feel very, very disjointed. We can feel frail. We can feel susceptible to life. We can feel vulnerable and scared and have doubts, right? Anybody else in the room ever feel that way, or am I the only one? Right? We can feel that way, right? That's what life does to us. And so we've been in a series now for a couple of weeks where we've just been walking through this amazing little book in the Old Testament called Ruth. And it's been an amazing journey as we've worked through this. And what we've seen here is we've seen some women, these women, Ruth and Naomi, who ultimately, what they really desire, what they really want after some unbelievably tragic things that have happened in their lives is they want to feel safe and secure again. They want to feel covered. And we've seen over the first couple of weeks here, God is starting to work. He's starting to bring some of that safety and security to their lives, but it hasn't come to fullness yet. And today, that's going to change. Today, we're going to see that, right? So much has remained in question for Ruth and Naomi, but God has showed up in big ways, and he's about to show up even more this week. And so I want to encourage you, if you brought Bibles with you this morning, you can open with us to Ruth chapter 3. We're just going to unpack this chapter together today. If you're new, maybe joining with us for the first time, here's what we love to do. We love to take a text of scripture in the Bible. It can be a whole chapter. It can be three verses and just unpack those verses together. Understand and learn the Bible. What I want for you, what I want you to be able to do is walk out of here and not just get a message today, but walk out of here and have a greater understanding of how to pursue Jesus on your own, how to understand how to read God's word for all it's worth. That's my passion for you every single time we come in here, right? And so Ruth chapter 3 begins this way. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now, Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Let's just stop right there and let's just unpack this first part of the text, right? So first of all, I want us to see this. What does it say? It says one day Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her. Now, we don't know exactly how long. If you remember, and I would encourage you, if you're jumping in here on this series for the first time, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe to that, catch up on the first two messages of this, or better yet, go home this week and read the first two chapters of Ruth. But let me just give you the really, really fast cliff notes here, right? Ruth and Naomi have come from this land of Moab where Ruth is a native of, and they've come back to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem, and they have been in Bethlehem now for, we don't know exactly how long, but most likely somewhere around 2 months. And Ruth has been working in the fields of this man by the name of Boaz, who happens to be a relative of Naomi's late husband, Elimelech. And so she's been there for probably 2 months, right? And so it says one day, right? Probably 2 months, because that's the length of the barley harvest. It says at the time they got there, it was the start of this barley harvest, right? One day. So Ruth has been out here gleaning in the fields. And during that time, Naomi is watching the relationship, I believe this, watching the relationship between Ruth and Boaz. And she's starting to think about the future. Like, what is going to happen to us? How are we going to survive, right? And so she looks at Ruth and she says, I love you, my daughter-in-law, but you need to find a home. You need to find a place of safety and security moving forward, because I'm not going to be able to provide that for you forever, right? She knows both she and Ruth's best chance for long-term security is through this man by the name of Boaz. Right? She says, I want you to find a home. That word home in the original language, in the Hebrew language, is this word manoach. Manoach. Here's what it means: a place of rest and security. Isn't that truly what our home is supposed to feel like? I don't know about you, but my home is the place that is the only place I can go where I truly feel at rest. Anybody else? Right? Whenever I'm outside of my home, there's a little part of me that has to be on all the time, right? When I go into my home though, that's the place where I rest. I'm at calm. I'm at peace, right? That's the imagery, right? Of this language of manoach, right? And so Naomi wants Ruth to have that kind of security. This is the love that Naomi has for her daughter-in-law. She wants this long-term security and rest. Now, Naomi here reminds Ruth that Boaz, she says, is our relative. We learned this very briefly last week. What does she mean when she says that? That he is their guardian redeemer. Their guardian redeemer. And this is a really important term that is so critical to this story, right? She knows, Naomi knows, that Ruth's best chance for long-term safety and security is to connect with this guardian redeemer who can actually redeem her life, change her life. Now, in ancient Israel, the guardian redeemer had a very specific role. Three things. I want to give you these three things here. These are found in Leviticus chapter 25, Deuteronomy chapter 25. You can go and read these in the Old Testament. Number one, they made sure that if a family member was murdered, that that murderer was actually brought to justice. So that's one role that the kinsman or the guardian redeemer had. Not only that, but they were responsible for buying back property that was lost as a result of that, right? So they could buy back property to keep it in the family, to make sure that that family didn't lose the land that was theirs. And then finally, they were responsible for carrying on the family name by marrying a childless widow. Right, so they can do all of these things. Ultimately, here's what I want us to see. Here's the bottom line. They are the protectors of the future of these families. That's their role. That's their responsibility, to protect the future of this family. Kind of keep that in the back of your mind, all right? And so it tells us here, Naomi comes up with a plan. What does she tell Ruth to do here? Ruth, I need you to shower up, all right? Take a bath. I need you to put on some Chanel number 5, put on your best Prada dress, right? And we're gonna go down to Boaz's little barley harvest party. And we're going to try to connect with Boaz and begin the process of him redeeming you, of him providing for you, of him becoming your covering, right? I want you to hang out there, she says, for the evening, keep a low profile. And when the evening is over, and he lies down to go to sleep for the night, I want you to go and uncover his feet and lay on them. Now, we may read that for the very first time. I'm probably like you. I'm reading that, not gonna lie, and the first thing I'm thinking is, this seems wildly inappropriate. Like, what is happening here? What is Naomi up to here, right? Like, it kind of seems like Naomi's trying to orchestrate a little bomb chicka wah wah. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, this is weird. This is strange. And for most people, you're reading this and going, is there like some sort of inappropriate sexual intent going on here? This is important contextually, culturally, to understand this. There's nothing sexual about this at all. This is not a sexual advance. It's actually a practice that was totally acceptable in their culture, as we're going to see here in just a minute. So let's continue on. "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. Right? We've seen this throughout the story. Ruth is so obedient. She's so faithful. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything in her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a young woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." And so Ruth obediently does what Naomi asks her to do, right? She goes down to this place called the threshing floor. Let's talk about the threshing floor for a second. I want to help you visualize where they are and what's happening. So what would happen is during the harvest, this threshing floor was like this giant concrete almost slab, or a really hard slab of earth, right? Sometimes it would be in a room. They would actually build a structure around it. But it was a big flat area, and they would bring all of the grain to this area, and they would take these big sticks, and they would beat all of this wheat and barley and whatever it was that they were harvesting to get the seed to separate from what they call the chaff, right? And so they would take the chaff and they would throw that away, or they would burn that, and then they would take all of the seed, all of the grain that was left that they would eventually make all kinds of bread and food out of, and they would pile that up over in another area. And so what was happening is, it's coming to the end of the barley harvest season. They're having this big party, essentially, where they're taking these sticks, beating on this barley, separating it, right? And it's this joyous moment, right? Remember how this whole story started was, why did they have to leave Bethlehem in the first place, Naomi and her family? Because there was this great famine, right? Well, the famine is over now. All of a sudden, God is providing tons of food for them. And so there's this celebration happening this evening, right? And so at the end of the night, here's what would have happened, right? Everybody's winding down. They've had their meal time. They've celebrated. It's time to go to sleep. And so Boaz, it says, went and laid down next to the grain pile. Now, I always have found that very fascinating. Why is he doing that? This is a guy who's very wealthy. He has a lot of land. Certainly he has a house. He has a bed somewhere. Why is he laying down on the threshing floor next to the grain? Well, we have to recognize this. He is a wealthy man. He does have a lot of grain, and it's been a famine. And guess what? He's not letting anybody come and steal that grain. He's protecting it. He's laying there overnight to make sure nobody's going to come and take that from me. Not a chance, right? So again, we see the character, we see the integrity of Boaz on display here. This is a courageous man, right? He's not letting anybody take the grain that he has worked so hard to get. And so it says, once he was asleep, Ruth walked over to him. She quietly pulled back his blanket and she laid down at his feet. Now, sometime in the middle of the night, Boaz awakes and he is stunned to find that there is a woman laying at his feet, as I would be as well, right? Like, what is going on here? Who is this? Who is this laying at my feet? And I want us to see the response of Ruth here this morning. I just love how she responds. Look at what she said. He says, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am your servant. I am your servant, Ruth." And then number two, she said this. She asked him to spread the corner of his garment over her. Why? Because he is her guardian redeemer. And so don't miss, please don't miss the powerful symbolism here behind her words this morning. Don't miss what she's saying here. She's saying essentially, Boaz, I know that I do not deserve your help. I do not deserve your favor, right? I am your servant, she says, right? I am lower than you. I put myself in a position that is lower than you. I recognize that. I don't have any business being here. I don't really have any right to be here, but I'm here and I have, and you have shown yourself. Look at what she says. Spread the corner of your garment over me. You are the guardian redeemer of our family. You have shown yourself to be a worthy redeemer. You have allowed me to glean in your fields for months. You have taken care of my family. You have provided food for us, right? And so in the beginning of this story, I don't think there was anything romantic going on. I absolutely believe that over time, as their relationship developed, there is something romantic happening here now. There is something where Ruth in her heart is realizing, this is a man, right? I think of that old Salt and Pepper song, what a man, what a man, what a man, right? That's where she's at. That's what she's thinking, right? This is a good man. This is a mighty good man. And she wants him to redeem her. She recognizes he is really the only one who can do that. And so she's essentially saying here, I submit my life into your hands. When she says, would you take your garment and would you cover me? That's what she's saying. She's saying, Boaz, would you marry me? Would you protect me? Would you take care of me? That's what's happening here. And it's this beautiful, it's an amazing thing that is happening here. Marry me and take me under your wings, she's saying. And so Boaz's response here shows us that Ruth is spot on with her assessment of his character and his integrity. Look at what verse 10 says. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. The kindness is greater than that which you showed, is even greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another one who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night and in the morning if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer. Good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. And so she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. And so I want us to see Boaz's response here. I love this. I love the humility of Boaz, right? His response really is one of pleasant surprise. He's pleasantly surprised. Honestly, I would even take it as far as to say, he's kind of shocked that Ruth would choose him of all people, right? He's an older man. He's not, look at what he says, right? This kindness is greater than that which you showed early. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. He's stunned, right, by Ruth here, that she would choose him. And so what does he do? He enthusiastically commits to do what she's asking, to marry her and to protect her and to take care of her. Why? I love this. What does he call Ruth? What does he say about her? He says, you are a woman of noble character, right? Boaz, not only does Ruth recognize the character of Boaz, Boaz recognizes the character of Ruth. And I love this because we don't know. It doesn't tell us. It never says anything about what Boaz or Ruth looks like. We don't know. Frankly, they might not have been the best looking people on the planet. Doesn't matter. Why do they love each other? Why do they care about each other? Because they see their hearts. It's about their hearts. It's not about what's the outward appearance, right? It's about what's happening inside, right? One thing can be absolutely certain here, though, I think, is they genuinely have a love and a care and an affection for one another. And so again, we see Boaz's character on display here. Boaz realizes, he recognizes something. There is actually one other person who could act as their guardian redeemer and for some reason actually has precedent over him. Now, if it was me, if I was Boaz, probably in my humanness, in my flesh, I'd be like, you know what? I'm just gonna not tell that guy, right? He doesn't have to know about this. But Boaz doesn't do that. He's like, I'm not starting off this marriage and this relationship in a false way, under false pretenses. So we have to go and we have to give this other guy the opportunity to do this first, right? There's another man who had first rights to be her redeemer. And so in the morning, what does Boaz do? He tells Ruth, get up, tell no one, right? Now, why does he do that? Is it because he did something wrong? They've done absolutely nothing wrong up until this point. I want to make that really, really clear. The no sinful act has happened here, right? Why does he tell her not to tell anybody else? Because he doesn't want anybody to believe or think anything badly about Ruth or him or this relationship, right? And he wants to be able to go and tell this other man face to face before he hears it secondhand from the whole village, right? All the rumors, all the gossip about what might have happened on the threshing floor. He's like, I'm not letting that happen, right? This is wisdom from Boaz. There's not anything deceitful or shady going on here, right? And so Boaz sent Ruth home, it says, with 6 measures of barley. This is essentially like an engagement gift that he sends home with her, right? Like, who needs flowers and chocolate when, you know, you got a shawl full of grain? Nothing says I love you like a shawl full of grain, right? And so he sends her home with this shawl full of grain, right? And then she takes it back and he goes on to meet up with this guy that he needs to connect with in order to make this thing final. And so it says in verse 16, when Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. When she got home, Naomi asked how things went, right? She asks Ruth, she wants to know, like she sent her off on this mission and Naomi's like, how did it go? How did everything play out, right? And I love this about Naomi, right? Ruth gives her the details, shares with her what happened, right? Boaz agreed, he's going to redeem our family, but oh wait, there's a cliffhanger. Boaz realizes there's somebody else. He's got to go talk to this guy first. And so Ruth is really in limbo here, right? She knows she's going to get married. That's the reality. She's going to get married to somebody. The question is it going to be Boaz or is it going to be this other random stranger that she doesn't know? We know what she wants. We know what her heart's desire is. It's for Boaz, right? She loves him. She has great affection for him now. And I'm sure, come on, we've all been in this situation before, haven't we? She's anxious. She's a little nervous. She's a little afraid about what's going to happen. And look at what Naomi says to her. And this is this whole story from start to finish. The transformation that happens in Naomi's life is incredible. That's why you gotta go listen to the first 2 messages and read the first 2 chapters. This woman is broken. She is down and out, man. She is hopeless. She is not providing any encouragement to anybody else. And now all of a sudden, look at her. Look at how things have turned. She sees how God is working in the situation. And what does she say to Ruth? Wait, my daughter. Oh, the power of those few little words. She says, wait. Just be patient. Just give it some time. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Boaz is going to settle this matter. He's going to take care of it, right? Look at what she said. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled. She's seen Boaz. She's seen him at work. She's seen how he lives and how he operates. He's not going to let this go until he figures out a way to make this happen. And so she gives, I believe Naomi in that moment, gives Ruth this unbelievable gift, the gift of calm. The gift of peace. Okay, it's all going to be okay. And so as we come to the close here of chapter 3, here's what's been kind of rattling around in my mind for the last few weeks as I think about what God might want to be teaching us through this story. Like, what does God have for us today from chapter 3? Well, first of all, look at this. Ruth has been looking for a home. That's what she's been doing, right? She's been essentially, in a way, kind of homeless now. She's left her homeland. She's lost her husband. She wants to feel safe and secure again. She wants to have that home, that manoach, right? That place of rest, a place to finally feel secure. She's looking for someone ultimately, like I think all of us are at various times in our life, to cover her. She wants to be covered once and for all. And to her credit, this is what I love about Ruth. She knew where to go. She knew where to go to find that covering, to find that rest and redemption, right? She saw, she recognized Boaz is the man to do this. He has the character and integrity that I desire in a man. I can trust him to redeem me. And just as importantly, I think she recognizes she can't do it herself. She's not going to be able to do it herself. She's been out in the field working for weeks and weeks, for months, right? And yeah, it's providing, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think she recognizes it's not going to be enough. No amount of work in the field was going to bring the fullness of the rest that she was looking for. No amount of work that she did could fully redeem her. It wasn't going to happen, right? And so she did something that took unbelievable faith and courage. In a lot of ways, I mean, think about this. She's only known this guy for what? A couple of months, right? In kind of modern terms, people would look at this and go, you're crazy. This is insane, right? You barely know him, right? You can hear somebody saying that. But she's seen his character. She knows it. She's so convinced of it. And so what does she do? That act of walking into that threshing floor, putting herself at his feet, allowing him to cover her. I mean, this is a true act of surrender. She's just completely surrendering her life to him and saying, I trust you to take care of me. And this is what I don't want us to miss this week. We talked about this a little bit last week. We're going to really bring this home in the final 2 weeks of this series in chapter 3 and 4. Don't miss this. This is an incredible picture of all of humanity. What's happening right here? It is. Every one of us is in need of covering. All of us. We're desperately in need of covering. The evil of this world, the sin of our own lives has left us in desperate need of a savior. It's left us in desperate need of someone to cover us. That's what's happening in our world right now. What do? What do you and I do? What do many people in this world do? We wander through life looking for rest, looking for safety and security, looking for a place to call home in things that will never actually provide it. That's what we do. That's the human nature inside of us, right? We're trying everything this world has to offer to find security so we can finally be at rest, finally be at home. And so what do we try? What do we do? What do we pursue, right? We pursue sex, we pursue money, we pursue power and success and achievement, we pursue relationships, we pursue all of these things thinking, oh, if I just finally get the right home, then I'll be at rest. And it's fool's gold every time. And those of us who've tried that and tried that and tried that and found something better, we know that. We've experienced that. We realize that, right? There is only one who can bring a permanent covering in our lives. There's only one. There's only one who can bring permanent rest. And this is the message we preach. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. He's the only one who can really provide you the rest for your soul that you are seeking. He's the only one who can truly cover you, right? It's him and him alone. And so we talked about this last week. I want to say it again. This story is not about Boaz. It's not about Ruth. It's not about Naomi. It's ultimately all pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the greater Boaz. He's the one who brings ultimate redemption. Yeah, Naomi and Ruth found redemption in Boaz, but it still wasn't permanent redemption. It still wasn't permanent rest, right? They were going to go through hard things again. Jesus is the only one who can truly provide that. And so like Ruth, here's what I want to challenge you to do today. Please don't chase the things of this world believing they're going to provide you the rest that you so desire. It's not, you're not going to find it there, right? And then secondly, have the humility to completely surrender yourself to Jesus, to surrender him to him, just like Ruth did to Boaz, to recognize she couldn't do it on her own. She wasn't going to be able to find that security on her own strength and on her own power and through the things that she did. It could only be found in her guardian redeemer. And the same is true for us today. It will only be found in our true guardian redeemer. And trust him with your life. And so today, there's a lot of people in this room today. There's a lot of people coming from very different backgrounds, different faith backgrounds and faith walks. There may be people here today. You're a skeptic and you're like, I don't know. I've been hearing about this Jesus thing for a long time. Maybe you grew up in church and You kind of walked away for a while. Maybe you didn't ever set foot in a church before. It's your first time ever walking in and hearing about this Jesus in the way that you're hearing about it today. For the skeptic, if you're wondering, like I'm sure Ruth maybe did when she first encountered Boaz, can I trust this Jesus? Can I really trust who he says he is and what he says he wants to do for me? Can I? Right, if you are that skeptic, can I tell you something today? Jesus was so committed to covering you, to providing a place where you can find permanent rest and security, a home. He was so committed to that, that he was literally willing to die for you, to lay down his life for you so that you could have that forever. His love for you. If you hear nothing else today, please don't walk out of here without hearing this. God loves you so very much. And his proof of that, how he proves it, is that while we were still sinners, Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. That's an amazing truth. That's an amazing thing. He didn't say, get your act together, do all the right things, be perfect, and then you can come and you can have a home here and you can be part of my family. No, he said, I will die for you first. I will welcome you with all of your flaws and all of your weaknesses. And then we will begin to work on all of your stuff together. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the grace of Jesus Christ that he has for every person, for you. Yes, you, no matter what you've done, no matter how many bad things you think you've done, even if it's something you think could never be forgiven, Jesus says, there's nothing you can do that will make me love you less, that will make me not want to forgive you. Absolutely nothing. Why? He desires to cover you for the rest of your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to cover you. And so stop. Stop chasing after all of these other things in life to cover you and recognize it's Jesus. Put yourself at his feet. Pull the garment over and say, okay, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender to you. I give you all of me, everything that I have, you can have it. And what he'll do, please don't miss this morning. He will cover everything. He doesn't just cover part of us, right? He covers us completely. He covers our sin that separates us from God. He covers our death. We no longer walk as dead people. We are alive in Christ when he covers us. We have new life in Christ. He covers our sin, he covers death, he covers shame. Somebody might need to hear that today because you've been walking around in shame. He covers our doubts, he covers our fears, he covers our future. He covers it all, everything, every single part of us. And what I want for you, what I want for every person in this room and on this planet is for them to begin to experience that and walk in that freedom of knowing I'm home and I won't ever have to worry about it again. That's the power of the gospel. And so for the believer, right? That's for the skeptic, for the believer. Can I just give you a word of encouragement as well this morning? Because I know you know all of that. But let's be honest, let's be real here for a second. Sometimes even after we find that rest in Christ, we find that covering, ooh, life punches us in the face, doesn't it? It's not always easy. Yeah, we found rest. We have that home. We know where we can go. But boy, it's tough sometimes, right? It can feel like there are seasons of such great unrest. Can I just point you to the words of Naomi one more time? Wait. Just wait. Just be patient. Be patient and wait and trust that Jesus will not rest until it's settled. She looked at Ruth and said, just wait. This man will not rest until he settles the matter. Jesus will not rest until he settles the matter. And no, please hear me today. I don't want to give you false hope. There are certain things in this life that they might not get worked out in this life. They might not. But I promise you this, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, he will settle it in eternity. And one day we will walk with him, restored, redeemed, safe, secure for all of eternity. We will never have to worry about it again. And I praise God for that in the midst of the difficult seasons that we do go through in this life. I don't diminish those hard things. Just wait, though. Be patient. Continue to trust in him. Father God, I praise you today. I praise you that you are the great Redeemer, that you desire to cover us, that no matter what we have done, no matter what we go through, you cover it all. You invite us into rest. You invite us into your home. You make us sons and daughters, adopted into the kingdom of light, out of the darkness and into an eternal hope and future that can never be taken away. And so God, I do pray in this room, if there's somebody who just needs to know the love of God, the sacrifice Jesus made for them, that they would turn from the things of this world. They would repent. That's just, that word just means to turn from the things of this world and turn to Jesus and put their faith and trust in him and surrender to him. I pray somebody would do that in this room right now. And if they do today, Lord, would you give them the courage to come to us so that we can begin to walk alongside of them and start the process of helping them grow and become like Christ. And Father, I do pray for my church family who knows the gospel, who understands that you have covered them, but maybe right now, today, just struggling. God, would you help them to wait patiently, to wait well, and to wait in trust, and to surrender whatever situation it is to you, Father. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so grateful for you. Thank you for redeeming us, Father. It's in Jesus' amazing and perfect and holy name we pray. Amen. Love you, church. Let's go this week and allow Jesus to just be that guardian redeemer. You are home. Amen. Amen.